The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
If our intelligence agencies are filled with individuals who would do this, knowingly do this, and support this fake new assessment that came out, my God, I mean, it's a miracle that Trump was able to win in 2024. It is an absolute miracle from God that Trump could win.
And Barack Obama is in on this from the very beginning. Why do we know that? Because on July 25th, he has a meeting in 2016 with John Brennan. And John Brennan says, hey, we have intercepted information that Hillary Clinton has approved a plan to create a fake Russia scandal on Donald Trump, try to make it look like he's colluding with Vladimir Putin to win the election. And the president knows this. And then 4 days later, he allows the FBI's investigation of Donald Trump, clearly based on Hillary Clinton's bogus information, to proceed. In January 2017, as he's leaving the office, Barack Obama attends a meeting. The FBI has decided to clear Mike Flynn, President Trump's national security advisor, and President Obama participates in a meeting on how they can try to keep Mike Flynn's investigation open, maybe lure him into a interview where they can then try to get him to lie or trick him into lying and indict him. That is also what occurs in that time frame. Now we have another intercept suggesting that Debbie Wasserman Schultz was talking, or someone was talking and was intercepted on a phone call saying President Obama has decided to nix any effort to pursue Hillary Clinton's email scandal. Basically, the fix was in on Hillary Clinton's scandal. So Barack Obama is allegedly involved in all three of those major moments in the summer of 16, which unleashes 9 years of weaponization against Donald Trump and Republican followers. That is why Barack Obama's name is on the mind of so many people today and why Mike Johnson's talking about a possible subpoena.
Does it get tricky at all with the former president, President Obama, looking at what his role in this is and bringing him in for some sort of deposition, potential subpoena?
Well, listen, I mean, we have no concern about that. If it's uncomfortable for him, he shouldn't have been involved in overseeing this, mm-hmm. which is what it appears to us has happened. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of allegations on the table. Our job is to go and follow each of those trails and to find out the truth. Mm-hmm. So those are very serious allegations with very serious implications, but we're going to have very serious people working on it, and we will get the answers.
Recently, Trump posted a somewhat comical meme of he's sitting alongside Obama and then federal agents show up and lock him up. But I think we're getting a little past meme time. We're getting to the time of decision-making. And Tulsi Gabbard, who has issued a new report, an intelligence report, with some rather startling and very incriminating conclusions, agrees with me. And she has made a criminal referral on Obama and many others. I think the day is finally here to indict Barack Obama and put him in handcuffs.
I was the hunted, and now I'm the hunter. It's a big difference.
From the hunted to hunting. Now he's sending out the memes and all this, but we'll see what happens in the courts. Some have wondered how you could even get a positive outcome there if it's in a DC court in particular. But leaving all that aside, I mean, the tables have definitely turned. And as you heard there at the very top, I mean, this is one of many absolute miracles from God. The fact that Donald Trump was able to withstand those withering attacks, those vicious attacks, and to actually be reelected last November. And then now, added to that, to see the dear leader finally being exposed for leading a treasonous coup, a rolling coup that went on for 9-10 years, a 16-year plan to destroy America. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live stream of this program or the replay of it after the fact at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. The tables have indeed turned, definitely, and God's hand. You can see his fingerprints on so many things. I mean, obviously, you see Satan's fingerprints on all of the evil and the corruption. But God's purpose stands. And through the years, I mean, for years and years and years, we've been telling you about a Jeroboam-type administration, about the return of Donald Trump, and about God exposing Barack Obama. Dinesh D'Souza was there in the cold open. He had something to say about how that, well, the tables have definitely turned. Listen to clip 7.
And this part of it is known, that the Hillary Clinton campaign paid for this bogus dossier called the Steele dossier with all these made-up allegations about Trump. But, of course, the dossier would just be out there. Maybe Hillary could buy some campaign ads with it. It wouldn't take on the larger dimensions that it did. The reason it did that is because of Barack Obama. It looked like it implicates Brennan, it implicates Comey, it implicates Clapper. But Tulsi Gabbard couldn't have been more clear in her recent statements. The absolute head of this is Obama. Maybe he does have immunity, but nevertheless, this is the case of the Republicans having a giant political opportunity right in front of them. In a sense, the left created the precedent for this, right? They can't say you can't arrest a president because they already did. You can't make the president sit down for a mugshot. They already did. They have played this book out. And now, well, it's our turn.
I mean, in so many of those events, the mugshot, lawfare, the assassination attempts, we're not even a year removed from a lot of that. That was all going on last year. So for those weak rhino Republicans saying things like, well, it would, and it may be Pam Bondi is saying this, it'll hurt the country if we actually go after Obama or even Brennan and Clapper. We're here. We've got an agenda. We've got to go forward. We've got to move in the forward direction and forget about what happened in the past. I mean, one thing you can say about Democrats is they will try to destroy you. They'll live in the past, present, future, wherever they have to be to destroy the opposition. And look at what we witnessed last year. As I said on yesterday's show, I mean, if you can get away with raping and abusing a 14-year-old girl, or if you can get away with treason, what does that say about the state of the country? It says we're finished. God brought Donald Trump back so that we could confront our sins. And as Dinesh was saying there, I mean, what an opportunity. And here you have the ones that you don't even really expect to show some courage, Tulsi Gabbard, and now you've got Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, saying, hey, we've got to get to the truth on this. Now, again, he's not. There have been plenty of Republicans that have talked the talk, and that's about it. They talk tough. And so we'll see if the subpoenas actually come out. I mean, at the very least, even if he's immune from conviction, at the very least, put him on the stand and make him answer for his crimes under oath. If the old crimes are in the too distant past and you can't deal with them now, well, look at what they did to Flynn. He should have to answer for everything. He's gone quiet. God has silenced him. And this has emboldened at least the commentary. As I said yesterday, I mean, that's a big takeaway from over the weekend. Obama, Obama, Obama. He's the head of the snake as far as the radical takeover attempt of the country is concerned. He was the one spearheading the treasonous coup. As Dinesh said, I mean, the Steele dossier would have never gotten the life that it had until Obama came along with the ICA and then attached the dossier to it. And then that led to all of the bogus, fake reporting on January 10th, 2017, We'll get to that later if we have time. They couldn't have pulled it off without the regime media. They were all in on it. It's like that Maria clip we played yesterday. I mean, what about the FISA judges? What about, you know, all of these federal agencies? What about the intel community? Of course, the Oval Office, the dear leader. And then the distinguished judges in black robes. They're all in on the coup to try to overthrow a duly elected president. And along the way, to cover their tracks, like Sundance has said. I mean, there were two purposes behind the Mueller investigation. It was to keep harassing and attacking Trump, get Trump, get Trump. And it was also to cover their tracks. They had been committing crimes. They had carried out illegal activity even before Trump was elected in 2016. The spying? I mean, that was going on in 2015 and all through 16. The illegal FISA warrants based on bogus evidence. They got, what did they get? Four of those approved by judges? Yeah, go ahead, keep spying. And then the fake investigation, making it sound like they were just investigating Russia, and Russia had all these salacious details about Trump, and maybe they could, you know, maybe they could influence Trump because of that. And in fact, they were trying to investigate Trump, destroy Trump, get Trump. It was all a setup. As I said yesterday, I mean, all that Tulsi revealed over the weekend, I mean, she didn't even get to the January 5 plot and then the January 6 meeting between Comey and Trump, which really was entrapment. That's what that was about. Going back to the miracle, though, the fact that Trump is even in there, the fact that he won in a landslide, the fact that he was nearly assassinated. The Hill, it says, President Trump has emerged as the most powerful president of either party in decades, wielding enormous clout within the GOP, especially on Capitol Hill. How did this happen? I mean, after they ran him out of town, once they stole the election, tried to blot him out, he had no voice. He was kicked off Twitter, kicked off Facebook. It's hard to believe, isn't it? That was just a little over 4 years ago. And now he's back. And he's got more power. Yesterday, General Flynn referred to him as a king. King-like powers, as we've said so often, based on Amos 7 and 2 Kings 14. Now he's back with more power than any president has had in decades. How does this happen? I mean, this is like it's something straight out of the book of Esther, where the tables turned on Haman. He just wanted to kill Jews. And in the end, he was the one that God took care of. This is God's doing. No man can take credit for this. It's of God. I mean, we're living through some times where our faith should be as strong as ever because we're witnessing God's miracles. Now, what do you do with that? How do you respond to that? Well, we're witnessing miracles, but we're also seeing a lot of sickness and filth. And will people be held to account? You know, there's someone mentioned to me that Habakkuk 1, we were going through the lawsuit over Mystery of the Ages back from 1997 to 2003. It was a grueling 6-year struggle in court. And as my father's written before, I mean, we could not get justice in the courts. There was just too much corruption. No sound judgment coming out of the court system. So God found a way to give us the justice we deserved. He did it outside the courts. And maybe that's what's happening here. You know, maybe a lot would come from a congressional investigation. They've already got most all the evidence as it is. As you heard Mike Johnson say there, I mean, they pretty much know what happened. Let's see if they have the courage to subpoena Obama, Brennan, Clapper, Comey. It says here, 6 months into his second term, Trump has shown a unique ability to instill fear among fellow Republicans by brandishing the threat of calling for primary challenges. Trump has passed much of his domestic legislative agenda crammed into his big, beautiful bill. I can't believe that they're all saying that term, big, beautiful bill, is so ugly. But leaving that aside, it does push Trump's agenda. There's no doubt about that. The Senate has confirmed 96 of Trump's civilian nominees in short time, filling the cabinet at the fastest pace in 20 years. The pace of confirmations during Trump's first 100 days exceeded that set by three of the past four administrations. He pushed embattled Speaker Mike Johnson over the top in January. And Trump managed to muscle through the first rescissions package Congress has passed since 1992. A rescission is where you're actually making a cut in spending. The first since 1992? Are you serious? Lots of sin, lots of corruption, lots of lawlessness being revealed along the way too. Right along the way that we've seen all these miracles as well. God's trying to get our attention. God wants us to turn our hearts to Him. I mean, what happened in December of 2016 and January of 2017? I mean, that just triggered an onslaught of treasonous activity and behavior. Listen to Davis Hanson, Victor Davis Hanson, as he talks about how this is so much worse than Watergate, this scandal, clip four.
Yeah, they wanted Donald Trump's administration to fail, and they wanted to destroy him career-wise, presidential-wise, psychologically. They wanted to destroy him. And so they went through the collusion false narrative in 2015 and 16. That failed. They took a little breath. Then they ate up 22 months and $40 million of his administration to destroy it. Then they took a little breath, and they went into the first impeachment phony Zelensky phone call and Vindman and the quote-unquote whistleblower. And so this was a three-year project to overturn the will of the American people and to destroy administration. Makes Watergate, as people have remarked on, Laura, look like small potatoes. It really does. It's such
absolutely
a magnitude, we can't even grasp it.
We can't even grasp it. It's so scandalous. It's so evil. I mean, it's pure evil. From, again, when you look at just motive, there's still those that apologize for Barack Obama and say we ought to forget about him. He's a former president, so let him skate free. But his motivation from the very beginning was treasonous. He wanted to destroy Donald Trump in every way imaginable. Victor Davis Hanson says it's of a magnitude that you can't even quite grasp. I said yesterday on the show, I mean, so much of what is there in Tulsi's documents, or the ones she released, I mean, it's so much of it has been known for years. And people like Dan Bongino and Kash Patel have written books about it. Lee Smith wrote a great book about the plot against President Trump. It was a coup. And as I said yesterday, you're just hearing more and more commentators say exactly that. Coup, treason, sedition, Obama. But we knew it from the start. If you just step back and look at it logically and know that who was the sitting president in that transition period from the 2016 election to the inauguration in January the next year, that would be the dear leader. It's interesting just listening to this montage from James Clapper acknowledging over the years, yeah, Obama was the one. He was the one that ordered this. We were just carrying out orders. Play clip 11.
One point I'd like to make, Anderson, I don't think has come up very much before, and I'm alluding now to the president's criticism of President Obama for all that he did or didn't do before he left office with respect to the Russian meddling. If it weren't for President Obama, we might not have done the intelligence community assessment that we did that set off a whole sequence of events which are still unfolding today, notably Special Counsel Mueller's investigation. President Obama is responsible for that, and it was he who tasked us to do that intelligence community assessment in the first place. And it is not a witch hunt. It is a serious, serious investigation, the catalyst for which was the intelligence community assessment that we did in the last administration.
John Brennan and Jim Comey and I were part of the group that were tasked by President Obama to put together all the reporting we had on the Russian interference. Point out that one of President Obama's objectives in tasking us to do that report on the Russian interference was to hand it off to the next administration. So the Trump administration would have that as a basis for taking action against Russia, which the message I'm getting from all this is apparently what we were supposed to have done was to ignore the Russian interference, ignore the Russian meddling and the threat that it poses to us. And oh, by the way, blown off what the then Commander-in-Chief, President Obama, told us to do, yeah, which was to assemble all the reporting that we could, that we had available to us, and put it in one report that the president could pass on to the Congress and to the next administration.
It was all Obama's treasonous plot. And as I said yesterday, I mean, I think the big takeaway from those documents released last Friday was the fact that the intel community said Russia was not interfering before and after the election, all the way up to December 8th. And then the big meeting on December 9th, 2016. And Obama says, hey, we're going in a different direction. We're going to do a 180, and we're going to attach it all to the Steele dossier, which everyone knew was bogus. So the fake intelligence assessment, it was all fake, it was all bogus. That was meant to keep an investigation into Trump, even though Comey assured Trump it wasn't about him on January 6th. But it was meant to keep the investigation going. And then you know what happened early in 2017. They set up Mike Flynn. Again, entrapment. Yet again, Comey then keeping the notes from his meeting with Trump and leaking them to the New York Times. Again, all these, and that was meant to keep more investigations going. He was trying to get a special counsel, and he got it in Mueller, thanks to Rosenstein. All of these deep state actors, all of these corrupt, how many people had to be in on this in order for it to go on for 8-9 years? The FISA is getting approved. And now you're hearing people say, hey, we've got to get Obama in handcuffs. Maybe it's a lot of bluster or too little too late. But it's refreshing to at least see people identify the root cause here of all this corruption, of all this third world-like activity. This is from Substack. What do we do about Obama? I realize that there are some on the conservative side of the ledger who, per usual, are skeptical anything will come of this. It will go down the proverbial memory hole. And again, when you see what Epstein's clients got away with, when you see what people have just been getting away with, the elites, for so many years, it's hard not to conclude that, well, they're going to get away with it again. But this guy says, I don't think that's the right or healthy attitude. For one, Russiagate was far and away the greatest and most consequential scandal in American political history, dwarfing Watergate by a factor so large it's impossible to estimate. It's just like Victor Davis Hanson said, Benedict Arnold is nothing by comparison. Putting it simply, a cabal under a president in the last month of his presidency at a meeting inside the White House set out to destroy his successor's presidency just days before the inauguration of that successor who was duly elected by the American people. All in all, even Democrats, though they may not realize it, America, all of America, I should say, even Democrats, was betrayed as our constitutional republic was being subverted and placed in jeopardy. It says the cabal did this, as Gabbard makes clear, by lying extensively, using evidence, the Steele dossier they knew to be salacious, a salacious fake, and colluding with all too willing government agencies and their myriad press toadies to amplify their malign and completely illegal ends. I mean, in some ways, you read that and you think, how could this possibly get cleaned up? How could there be justice for all of these involved? There were so many who were complicit. It says, whether this is treason or sedition, doesn't really matter. What they did is horrendous under any definition. Nevertheless, the death penalty, a possible penalty only for treason, should not be employed. And so this guy goes on and says, you know, some should be put to prison and others should be exiled, their wealth taken from them. It's hard to see anything like that happening, but there should certainly be some indictments. There should certainly be some testimony under oath. What an opportunity, as D'Souza said, for Republicans to actually show a backbone, to actually have a fight spirit, to show some rising lion courage. What an opportunity. As I say, you wouldn't have expected Tulsi Gabbard to be the first one to come forward saying this was a coup. This is treason. And I think some would say, you know, I wasn't quite expecting Speaker Johnson to lob this bomb into the opposition camp. Yeah, we'll call Obama. We want to get to the truth. Here's a little bit more from Speaker Johnson's interview yesterday, clip one.
You say there must be accountability. The DOJ will work on the criminal aspect of this. What's the role of the House here specifically? I mean, people want to see subpoenas. They want to see depositions. They want to see whether it be Brennan, Clapper, potentially the president, the former president of the United States. Are you willing to go down that route? Because a lot of people want to see some of these folks questioned under oath.
Of course. Look, I think we have a responsibility to follow the truth where it leads and to do it in an unbiased fashion, to do effectively the opposite of what that other team did. Mm. They're engaged in a partisan political plot to take down their foe and the other party. We need to be about the rule of law and bringing order to the chaos and searching out the truth, because the American people are owed those answers.
Upholding the rule of law. Well, here's your opportunity. Putting away the sin, like you see over and again in the Old Testament, God saying, look, if the sin is discovered, you've got to put it away. You've got to remove it from the camp. And we've gone through this before. This is their opportunity to do it, at least in the case of all this corruption, this government corruption. Listen to one more from Speaker Johnson, clip two.
And I do expect that whether there's a special counsel appointed, which some are suggesting, and or in conjunction with the House investigations, that we will get the answers and there will be accountability to the extent that we're able to do that.
Sounds good. Sounds pretty good. And they've got a Republican majority in the House. But then again, you have to think, why wasn't this going on, you know, 4 or 5 years ago? Why didn't this happen? Maybe it was just strictly because they didn't have a majority. But now they do. I mean, they've got no excuse. So we'll see. I mentioned yesterday that the media silence, it's deafening, isn't it? I took you through the first full hour of the morning meltdown and nothing. Jesse Waters commented on this last night on his show as well. It's towards the tail end of this clip if you move ahead to number five.
Fox News alert. The Department of Justice has just received a criminal referral from Tulsi Gabbard. This is relating to her bombshell evidence that shows Obama and his intel guys knowingly manipulated intelligence to frame Trump as a Russian asset. So the media spent years obsessed with the Russia hoax, and now that it's been debunked and has Obama's fingerprints all over it, they're ducking their heads from the boomerang. There was just one mention of these explosive declassification and publication of documents related to the Russia hoax across all major Sunday shows this weekend. I wonder why.
The reason is they are complicit. And the more Obama is exposed and the more they go after Obama with testimony and maybe indictments, the more it exposes the media. As Jesse says there, for years, they were obsessed with the Russia hoax. Listen to this montage put together by Newsbusters, clip 10.
Russia hacking the election to elect Trump is the end of our democracy. Votes were definitely affected. Russia hacked the election to tilt it to Mr. Trump.
The Russians definitively hacked the election.
Russia did hack the election.
No doubt. The Russians hacked the election.
Yes. Russia hacked the election.
Fact, Russia hacked the election.
President-elect Donald Trump still not sounding convinced that Russia hacked the election.
The president does not want to come to terms with the fact that the Russians hacked the election.
President Trump says he still wonders if the Russians hacked the election.
If you can get him to accept that Russia hacked the election, see if you can get him to accept who won the Civil War.
If he admits it, it casts a shadow on his victory over Hillary Clinton.
Russia hacked the election.
Russia hacked the election.
Russia hacked the election.
Russia hacked the election.
Let's be clear, Russia hacked the election. Definitively, Russia hacked the election, and Russia is doing it again now.
Election-related cyber hacking.
Cyber hacking of U.S. elections.
Cyber hacking of the election.
Russia was cyber hacking the election.
Russia was cyber hacking the election.
The CIA, the FBI, NSA.
All of these intelligence organizations,
17 intelligence agencies,
all conclude that Russia hacked the election.
If we find out that Donald Trump just theoretically was colluding with Russia while they were hacking the election, that is completely impeachable.
This dossier alleged a conspiracy between the Trump campaign and the Russian effort to hack the election.
The director of national intelligence, the head of the National Security Agency, the head of the FBI, all of these intelligence experts saying Russia hacked the election.
The FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the former director of national intelligence, James Clapper, I mean, they've all said this. So to believe that that's wrong, you have to believe they're all involved in an elaborate conspiracy to get Donald Trump, which seems a little far-fetched to me.
Yeah, really. It's very far-fetched. See, you would have to conclude they're trying to get Trump. Well, that's what they were doing. But listen to the rest of them. Like stormtroopers, clones. Russia, Russia, Russia. Sound like Jan Brady. I mean, there's one for our older viewers. It's unbelievable. The mental derangement that's on display. But to go from that to complete silence after Russia, Russia, Russia is completely debunked. And now Obama and all of his henchmen possibly being held to account. And this is the biggest story that is going on now. It's, as far as domestic politics are concerned, I'll get to Syria a little bit later. There's plenty more going on worldwide for sure. But this is huge. And to ignore it, it shows. It shows they know that they were in on it. And so they're just hoping it goes away. Or maybe try to distract their audiences with Epstein or something else. Or talk about sports. Talk about entertainment. I'm told that President Trump just a few moments ago was asked about the criminal referrals and who the DOJ should go after. Listen to this clip if you guys have it. Not yet. Not yet. How about if you play, let's go back to number 12. This was in the cold open from yesterday. This is Obama at the end of his second term, December of 2016, talking about how he's just totally independent, or the DOJ is independent of his direction. And that's the way it had always been. He made these lies all through that year. It's almost as if he knew. He was just offhandedly saying time and again, he said it in April of that year, that I don't meddle in any of the DOJ or FBI activities. You know, they're independent. They operate on their own. And this is what he said as he was leaving office, clip 12.
One thing that I have done is to be pretty scrupulous about not wading into investigation decisions or prosecution decisions or decisions not to prosecute. I have tried to be really strict in my own behavior about preserving the independence of law enforcement, free from my own judgments and political assessments in some cases. And I don't know why I would stop now.
angel of light, angel, just what you would expect to come from the devil. I'm righteous. I'm not meddling in any of this. And yet you look at Tulsi Gabbard's documents and even other things we've known for years. Peter Strzok and his lover going back and forth. Yeah, the big guys, he's heading this up. We've known it from just some of the activities going on in the summer. You heard John Solomon in the cold open. He was involved in letting Hillary skate free from, you know, the email server that she had tucked away in her basement. She got off scot-free. He kept the investigation into Mike Flynn going when even the investigator said, yeah, everything's done here. There's nothing, really nothing to worry about. And Obama kept it going. And then Obama authored, or at least directed, the intel community to create a fake intelligence assessment. All that going on in 2016, and then he says that. Well, now that there's a criminal referral, who should we go after? Who should the DOJ go after? And as I say, President Trump a few moments ago said this.
Submitted a criminal referral to the Department of Justice. From your perspective, who should the DOJ target as part of their investigation? What specific figures in the Obama administration?
Well, based on what I read, and I read pretty much what you read, it would be President Obama. He started it. And Biden was there with him. And Comey was there. And Clapper, the whole group was there. But you know what? If you look at those papers, they have them stone cold. And it was President Obama. It wasn't lots of people all over the place. It was them, too. But the leader of the gang was President Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. Have you heard of him? And except for the fact that he gets shielded by the press for his entire life, that's the one they... Look, he's guilty. It's not a question. You know, I like to say, let's give it time. It's there. He's guilty. This was treason. This was every word you can think of. They tried to steal the election. They tried to obfuscate the election. They did things that nobody's ever even imagined, even in other countries. You've seen some pretty rough countries. This man has seen some pretty rough countries, but you've never seen anything like it.
He's completely right. Hopefully Pam Bondi is listening. You now know the details behind the December 9 meeting that Obama called for and then ordered the fake intel assessment to be produced. You now know a lot more about the leaks that came out that day in the Washington Post and the New York Times, hopping on board with the story before the assessment was even done, before the assessment even started. But what about January 5, the day before the assessment is released, the fake assessment? January 5th, 2017, here again, Obama calls for a meeting with all the usual suspects. You've got James Clapper, you've got Brennan, you've got Biden, as you heard there from President Trump. Comey's involved. They're all in the Oval Office, and they're there to discuss the game plan. How are we going to get Trump? As soon as we release this fake assessment tomorrow, January 6th, and this is all laid out in America Under Attack. If you don't have this book, I mean, a lot of it's now history. But you also get God's prophecies along the way and why it is that we concluded that this would soon be exposed and that Donald Trump would come back. It's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle that all of this transpired exactly the way God said that it would. The officials in the meeting would need to figure out how the investigation of Carter Page and the Trump campaign could continue, despite the fact that its central focus, Trump, was about to be sworn in as president. Trump was about to become the boss for all these agents of corruption. So they were plotting. How can we keep all of these investigations going? How can the dear leader keep running this shadow government, the deep state, the administrative state, the swamp, even while Trump was in office? My father says these highest officials, led by Obama, We're strategizing about how to continue an illegal investigation on the next sitting president, who would be their own boss. This is treason. And later on in this quote, as I said yesterday, I mean, my father says, okay, here's what Webster's has to say about treason. This is the dictionary definition. And you heard President Trump just earlier today call it what it is. Obama directed it, and it's treason. And the media covered for him and still are covering for him with their silence. It says here, that was an egregious, monstrous lie. Obama talking about how that he, you know, he never gets involved in investigations. He said in April, Obama did. This is very similar to the clip I just played you a bit ago. He said, I do not talk to the Attorney General about pending investigations. I do not talk to FBI directors about pending investigations. We have a strict line and always have maintained it. He lied over and over again. He ordered all this. He ordered the investigations. He got updates on the investigations. He called meetings in the Oval Office to say, how are we going to carry out this investigation, even when Trump comes to power? Wow. It's an egregious lie. McCarthy says, Obama officials claim to adhere to the book that forbade consultations between political leaders and investigators, but here they were consulting January 5. How do we keep it going? How do we go into a supposed defensive briefing with Donald Trump tomorrow to reassure him that, look, what we're continuing on, even as you are inaugurated as president, is meant to help you? Comey lied. That's the way Comey presented it. No, we just want to keep the investigation going to help you. No, it was intended to hurt Donald Trump and to cover their own tracks as well. My father says, could there be a more deadly treasonous act? Could there be anything more treasonous for this to go unpunished? I mean, in some ways, that's worse than treason. That's surrender. What does it say to others who are planning or plotting to get away with crimes of the highest order if all of this goes unpunished? Says here, after that meeting, Obama met further with Yates and Comey, both of whom would remain in office after Trump became president. At the second meeting, President Obama talked about the briefing FBI Director Comey would give the incoming president the next day, January 6. Obama instructed Comey to be selective when he briefed President-elect Trump. Comey was not to tell Trump the truth that he was being investigated. This is all from America Under Attack. It's the book right up until the election last year that we probably plugged and promoted more than any other piece of literature we've produced. As I said yesterday, General Flynn's read it. Pretty amazing. When Comey briefed Trump on the Steele dossier, it's almost certain that he described only a sliver of it, the embarrassing sexual allegations, so the incoming president would authorize the investigation to continue in order to clear his name. Well, you can tell by the reporting, once Clapper leaked it to CNN, that the two-page addendum that was added to the ICA was the most salacious details from the Steele dossier, which from beginning to end was totally fake, made up by Hillary Clinton and her team. Listen to this from CNN. This is the big reveal. They had known about the dossier for months, the regime media, but nobody ran with it because they knew it was unverified. They knew you couldn't get proof. There's no evidence that it was true. But it was Obama. It was Obama that gave it legitimacy. That's what Dinesh D'Souza just said in the clip I played earlier. It would have just died a little bit, maybe raised a few campaign donations to Hillary Clinton, were it not for Obama that took it and tacked it on to the ICA. The fake intelligence assessment together with the fake dirty dossier. And then the regime media, oh, they loved it.
They loved it. Breathless reporting.
On January 10th, listen to clip 13.
CNN has learned that the nation's top intelligence officials provided information to President-elect Donald Trump and to President Barack Obama last week about claims of Russian efforts to compromise President-elect Trump. The information was provided as part of last week's classified intelligence briefings regarding Russian efforts to undermine the U.S. elections.
I mean, you know it's serious when you've got the headset mic and the mic's coming, you know, like you're on stage performing. That's what they were doing. This is performative. Performing arts. Hollywood scripted. And Obama spearheaded it all. He certainly did. Listen to more from that day. We've played this before, but it's just, and knowing what we know now, knowing all that we know now, again, we knew so much of it even years ago, but these people, all of them, they look like fools. You talk about, you know, agents of Putin, propaganda artists. That's what they are. Clip 14.
Multiple U.S. officials with direct knowledge of the briefings tell CNN that classified documents on Russian interference in the 2016 U.S. election presented last week to President Obama and to President-elect Trump included allegations that Russian operatives claimed to have compromising personal and financial information about Mr. Trump. The allegations were part of a two-page synopsis. These were based on memos compiled by a former British intelligence operative whose past work U.S. intelligence officials consider credible.
Right. Chris Steele, credible source. More headsets, this time for Shudo. It's so serious. I mean, it's got salacious details compromising Trump. So Comey goes in on January 6th and says, look, we're here to help. We're here to clear your name. They lied. They lied to Trump. And they were receiving orders from Obama, just as Jim Clapper says. Obama's the one that ordered it. And Tulsi Gabbard came out with that same message over the weekend. Obama ordered it. Play clip 15 from that same night.
This two-page synopsis that we're referring to, this is an annex. This is an addendum to the intelligence community report.
That's exactly right. There was a broader report that spoke to the intelligence community's assessment that Russia hacked the U.S. election, interfered in the U.S. election, and also had an intent in doing so. This two-page addendum was included in the documents for this briefing, but it was not part of that larger assessment on Russian interference. Now,
this is from America Under Attack. It says, the main purpose of counterintelligence operations is to keep the president informed. That's the way they presented it, Comey and company. But when it came to the incoming president, law enforcement leaders treated the Russia investigation like a criminal probe in which Trump was a suspect. See, that's something that Comey did not bring out on January 6th. Certainly not. Now, I think Trump was catching on as 2017 continued. I forget how many months into that year that he finally fired Comey. But Comey, with the leaks to the New York Times and so on, he was responsible not only for taking classified documents out of the White House, helping himself to classified material. How about that? They raided Mar-a-Lago over supposed classified documents. Comey got what he wanted, special counsel, had help from Rosenstein, and then along comes Mueller, as you heard, 22 months, $40 million later, and he comes into that hearing and he knows nothing, and there's no evidence of any wrongdoing. It says here, since Trump would have the power to shut down the investigation, the trick was to avoid making him feel threatened by it. Therefore, the strategy was to withhold information that illustrated Trump's centrality to the investigation, assure him that he was not a suspect, and gently admonish him about the need to respect law enforcement's independence. You see, just like the dear leader always said, you're to be independent from investigations. That's the way I did it. And it was Barack Hussein Obama that was leading this investigation into Trump. Harassment, really. Persecution. Comey told Mr. Trump in private that he was not under investigation. Mr. Trump wanted Comey to relay the message to the public. Trump said, again, this is January 2017. If I'm not under investigation, can you at least tell the American people so that we can be unified? So that they can know, I mean, I'm duly elected. They brought me in. Can you tell them the truth then? Comey couldn't do it because it wasn't a counterintelligence operation. It was meant to go after Trump. It was about getting Trump from the very beginning. It says, imagine this man treating the president-elect this way. And remember, he was sent by Barack Obama. Barack Obama, as we said in America Under Attack, as we've said for so many years, he's responsible. This was Fox News the other day, again, about exposing all of this corruption, clip 19.
I find it very remarkable that the same media outlets that were saturating the airwaves about Russia collusion are absolutely silent on this bombshell report from Director Gabbard. The fact that maybe the big coup from the Democrats wasn't when they ousted President Biden and put in Kamala Harris, but it was actually when the former President Obama manufactured intelligence for political gain.
Pretty amazing, as I said yesterday. Coup, treason, Obama. You're hearing it all. I meant to get to this story yesterday from Sundance about the release of the documents from DNI. It says, staying focused on the trail of evidence held deep within the ODNI office is why Tulsi Gabbard has been targeted for removal the past several weeks. See, as I said yesterday, Satan above all hates being exposed. They knew Mike Flynn could expose them. So they entrapped him in 2017, and they did everything they could to try to destroy Tulsi Gabbard because they knew. And she said a couple weeks ago just how difficult it was, even in the position she's in, to get to the truth because there's so many deep state agents in her department. It says the op was green-lighted by Barack Obama as a way to impede the agenda of incoming President Donald Trump. All three branches of government collaborated on the scheme. And then it goes on to quote from Tulsi Gabbard's statement, along with the documents that she released, and all these bullet points. In the months leading up to the November 2016 election, the intelligence community consistently assessed that Russia is probably not trying to influence the election by using cyber means. That was from the intel community, Obama's intel community. On December 7, 2016, after the election, talking points were prepared for DNI, James Clapper stating, foreign adversaries did not use cyber attacks on election infrastructure to alter the U.S. presidential election outcome. I mean, that statement is emphatic. And it was presented to James Clapper, who was in Tulsi Gabbard's position at that time. We got nothing. Yeah, it was a perfect election, as Chris Krebs said 4 years later. It was just perfect. That was December 7, by the way, the anniversary of my father's firing from the Worldwide Church of God, start of the 40-day period of trial and test. What a 40-day period this was from December 7, 2016 to January 16, 2017. On December 9, President Obama's White House gathered top National Security Council principals, and it gives all the names to discuss Russia. After the meeting, DNI Clapper's executive assistant sent an email to IC leaders tasking them with creating a new IC assessment per President Obama's request. A new IC assessment, a fake one, a bogus one, a lie. Obama officials leaked false statements to media outlets, including the Washington Post, claiming Russia has attempted through cyber means to interfere in, if not actively influence, the outcome of the election. Same day. The Post and the New York Times ran with it the same day. They devised this wicked plot. And then it says on January 6, 2017, a new intelligence community assessment was released. And you had the meeting the day before as they devised the plot, how to keep investigating Trump, even while he was President Trump, how to get a special counsel eventually, how to destroy this man in any way that we can, or at least to slow down his agenda, and how to cover our own sins, how to cover our own crimes. This is toward the end of Sundown. I know I'm taking you a bit over, but I won't charge you for those, so don't worry. It gives all the names. Well, I can't even get into this. There's too much to go. But at the end, it says, Tulsi Gabbard deserves appreciation for her efforts on releasing these background documents. However, information without accountability should not be the objective. Attorney General Pam Bondi needs to put some teeth into these findings. Information without accountability. It makes me think of something we often say or teach to our young people here at the college and at the academy. I mean, knowledge unapplied is of no value. What good is it if you know crimes were committed, but you don't hold them to account? You don't punish those who are guilty. There's a lot of knowledge that's been revealed over the years, a lot that we've had brought to our attention just in the last few days. And so the question is, what will the Trump administration, what will the DOJ under Trump's leadership, what will the FBI under the leadership of Donald Trump, Kash Patel, Dan Bongino, what will they do with all of this knowledge? That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you again tomorrow.